That is such a pro tip. I am absolutely doing that from now on. That is so smart. That's great.
Hey y'all, it's LJ here, owner and founder of Smart Moms Plan Disney and Smart Moms Travel. We are so glad you're here for another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. Now, here's your host, Allie.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast. I am Allie, joined today by Becky and Stacy, and we have a very fun, very helpful episode today for everyone. We're going to be building the perfect park bag. I myself have had moments where we forgot something maybe for our youngest daughter. And I found myself in what felt like a 5K race all the way from the Japan Pavilion in Epcot all the way back to my far end room at the Boardwalk Villas. And if I would have just had this checklist to remember what I needed in my park bag, I could have saved myself the use of my inhaler that day. If you are already a member of our Patreon community, you can listen to this episode completely carefree without a pen in your hand, because members of our Patreon community are going to get our complete packing guide sent straight to their email. We are so grateful for all of y'all, and we love having you in that community with us. If you're not already a member of our Patreon community, take a minute and join us, or grab a pen and take notes on today's episode, because you're going to want to have this list. Becky and Stacy, we have been collecting information from listeners, park bag essentials, things that people forgot, things that they remembered that saved them from having a bad situation, like my 5K race that I didn't mean to run that I will tell about later. Do you have a list that you go to every time? What is your packing strategy?
As far as my packing strategy, my strategy is grab my Loungefly and go. I have about 30 Loungeflies. Because I forget something every single time, every single one of my Loungeflies has a version of every single thing that I need in it. And I think another part of this conversation is, what do you not need to bring in your park bag? So many people will pack every single little thing that they think that they might need forever and waste so much time, money, and space in their packing. So it's going to be a good conversation.
I am a minimalist. I want the least amount of things in my bag. I want to have as many things as possible just attached to me, but without weighing myself down. Minimalist is the way to go, in my opinion. So this is going to be interesting to see. I may be like hopping in and going, nope, you really don't need that. And I would just say too, my apologies for having a froggy throat one more time. Sorry, guys. There's a lot of yellow pollen down here in Alabama. I just sound like it. I'm really sorry about that, guys.
You need allergy medicine in your park bag.
I guess that's it.
Stacey, it's so funny. Your bags are pre-packed. A lot of our Disney stuff is organized and pre-packed as well. But for the first time traveler that's never been, I know this is a massive point of anxiety. You know, what do I need to bring into the park? Is my bag going to be too heavy? Am I going to forget something? What does your park bag look like? Becky, I know you just said you always take a Loungefly. And of course, we know you love Loungeflies. And for listeners that truly are new to Disney, Loungefly is a brand of backpack. They have a massive Disney collection. They are a pretty decent size, although I would still say on the smaller end personally. Yeah, I would say smaller end, but they're so cute and so creative. And most Disney goers want the perfect Loungefly. But I think they're a little small, and I think the straps are a little uncomfortable.
That's fair. As a family, it's me and my two girls who collect Loungeflies. My son does have a Loungefly, but collectively we have about 30 Loungeflies, which I get is excessive. But the individuality of it, like how we get to play into our Disney bounding with it, the theming of them, we never run out of space in our Loungeflies because we recognize we're not taking a sweatshirt in our bag. We're not taking big things. We have a water bottle that fits in it perfectly. We have just enough space, but also small enough that it doesn't feel bulky. Like we have to go drop it in a locker at any point. Like we can take it on every single ride with us. It's great that way.
That's a good point too. What about you, Stace? What kind of bag do you bring?
I have recently been swapping out, trying to find a little bit better bag for me, but the less the better for me. I want a smaller bag. I would love to get to the point of no bag. I know that that's not reasonable. I don't carry a purse. Like in regular life, I do not carry a purse. I have my cell phone with the wallet wrapped around it. And really, that's all I need. If it wasn't for needing to carry a water bottle with me, I think I would get a, I think I'd get away. Well, I take that back. Also a battery charger. I do need that. There are a few things I want to make sure I have in my room, because there's definitely stuff I want on the trip. But far as taking things into the park, I'm going to probably say, yeah, you don't need that.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because you have older kids, you know. So an important piece of this conversation and point of this episode is, if you have little ones, your list is going to be a lot longer. Their needs are just greater and more demanding. And as you get older, you can really minimalize. I actually bring two park bags. Personally, I have a crossbody, and my crossbody has go-to things that I need. But then I also have a backpack that's a little bigger. I can hold multiple water bottles because I do have little ones. But having little ones also means I have a stroller, right? So my backpack usually will go in the undercarriage of my stroller, and it'll house most of the things that we need throughout the day, but not often throughout the day. And then my crossbody has the essentials that I need to take with me on every ride or, you know, where we're going. So I usually will have two bags, and this is something I actually stress about as my kids get older and we lose the stroller, and then they're in charge of carrying their own bags and things like that. That's actually a part of my own personal anxiety, because I just haven't done it with kids yet. It's actually reassuring for me to hear you say, Becky, that your kids all have their own Loungefly that they're responsible for. I'm like, I can't imagine my kids getting to that point.
I love that my kids carry their own stuff. And it's gotten to the point that I don't even have to worry about the little things, because being teenagers, they are thinking forward about the things that they need, which is fantastic. But as you were talking, Allie, I was thinking back to stroller days, and I, walking around the park now, am so jealous of people who have two bags like that. Like, they have the bag that's in the stroller, but they also have like a Lululemon, like everywhere belt bag kind of idea.
That's what I
am. I love that size and wish I had had that when I was in toddler stroller mode.
It's so funny because it's the crossbody belt bag now, right? And I have one, you know, most people have one. I actually have a team member, a friend of ours, Danielle, got me one with a really cute happily ever after graphic on it. And I love that crossbody. I use that in the parks now. But my mom, when I was little, she had I would love to have this. I'm sure maybe it's still at my parents' house, but if it is, it's probably beat up. It was like a leather fanny pack, right? Which nobody really uses a fanny pack anymore, but it was a leather bag.
I feel like you're making fun of my age now.
A little bit. It was a black leather, you know, fanny pack bag with a black silhouetted Mickey head on it. And I very, very vividly remember her carrying that. I would love to have it, but I have to have the belt bag in addition to the backpack. And so I have to think through how I'm going to evolve that as my kids get older.
Stacey, I think that was an old joke, and I'm feeling you right there on the old part as well. Like, going to the amusement park when I was a kid in local in Utah, we would go to Lagoon and I would have a fanny pack, and feeling really, really retro right now. We were at the store and they were selling legit fanny packs. And I told Sean, I'm going to buy this. And he's like, I will not be seen in public with you wearing that.
Well, they do. I mean, it's essentially what the crossbody is, right? My daughter has a really cute little Zara pink fan. It's a legit fanny pack, and it's Minnie Mouse, and it's adorable. She wears it when we go to the parks all the time. But yeah, you need that. So that's a good start to this episode. You're thinking, what am I going to carry? Well, think about how old your kids are. Are you going to have a stroller or not? You want your backpack to be comfortable, right? Like a thin leather strap, when the bag gets heavy, that's going to kind of weigh on your shoulders. You're not necessarily going to love that. So think about your body, how it fits on your body, and how functional is it for your day? Okay. We're going to dive into this list, but before we do, we just want to thank all of you so much for listening today. Really means a lot to us. We love putting out episodes for y'all and helping your Disney planning just be so much easier. If you want to be among the first to get our content weekly every Tuesday when an episode drops, hitting your phone or wherever you're listening, just take a moment right now before we dive into our park bag and hit that subscribe button. That way you never miss out. Really appreciate it. Helps us, helps you. You never miss anything. Okay. We have been teasing now for well over a month here on the show that we're going to take submissions from listeners to help build the best park bag. And we had a chance to comb through. We had so many submissions. If you filled out that form and let us know what was in your park bag, we are so grateful. Of course, we can't mention every single person and every single thing that was on the list, but we do want to thank everybody that did submit, because there were some really great ideas in addition to the ones that we already had for ourselves. And we're excited to talk through them. The number one item on everybody's submissions, as well as some of the, you know, podcast team as we're talking, snacks. People mention snacks and having snacks in your park bag. I think snacks are really important. Like, you're going to get Disney snacks. You're going to buy a Mickey pretzel. You're going to buy some of the snacks we've covered here on the show, but you're not going to buy, you know, 20 of them in a day. And you are going to have long lines or long walks or long waits. And there are going to be moments that hunger will attack and you will have hangry members of your family. And having a quick grab snack in your park bag is going to be something that can really save you.
Yeah, we are a family of throw-in bags of goldfish, things that are small, but going to meet the need of a given moment.
Yeah, and talking about the benefit of older children versus mom being responsible for everything, that is something that we will do, is pre-order our snacks kind of in a bulk. Because I have five kids, and now I have two in-law children. And so when we travel as our large group, I'll buy boxes of whatever snack, like those little Gardetto trail mix things. Those are so good. And we'll buy little packs of M&Ms and just all the little things that we're going to throw into a park bag. But I wouldn't hand them out individually to everybody, because these are grown adults, honestly. Yeah. So I would take these large bulk things, have them in the room with us, and everybody would get their Ziploc and come into wherever, you know, the snacks were stored, and people would pack their own little snack bags every day. And that was just such a nice, they're responsible for it themselves kind of opportunity, because some people wanted the beef jerky, some people wanted the gummy bears, you know, like there was just different things for different kids. And I definitely recommend that. If you really want to think ahead, you can really kind of save money on doing your own things and having your own size snack bags if you buy things larger size and break them down. So that's been good for us. And like I said, just big kids being responsible for themselves. It's a great achievement to reach that point in life.
Yeah, some good ideas. Peanut butter crackers, pack some protein. And one of our listeners, Tamara, she said that they found that their breakfast was really low on protein and they had beef jerky sticks, which Stacey, you also mentioned, and that was a great thing to kind of help their energy, because Disney is really draining. And so having something with protein, another listener, Hillary, said that she brought little packs of Skittles and fruit leathers for her hangry toddler moments. She said every time her five-year-old would have a frustrated, overtired, or hangry moment, the Skittles or fruit leather was just enough of a sweet treat to avoid a meltdown. I love that idea, because what little kid doesn't see like a fun-sized candy and think, oh, this is a big reward? You know, my son definitely would. And anything to offset those moments that you know are going to come. And another listener, Elena, said that her kids were tired and hangry before a super long wait for a Toy Story ride, and she didn't have snacks. You know, so there was a flip side of the conversation. She said she wished she would have had even just a small sucker to entertain them or tide them over just while they were in the line. So for the older members of your family, you're probably looking at a protein-packed punch. And for the little ones, you just want something that feels like a reward, right? Like a mini candy, a sucker is a great. We always have those reusable suckers. We usually get like a Disney theme that, you know, you push the button and it opens. And then when you unpush the button, it seals, so you can have the sucker throughout the day. And my kids usually have those on our trips, and they're really great.
That's awesome. I also was thinking that Skittle idea is great, because Skittles are going to give you a little burst of energy from the sugar, but not going to melt like chocolate might, right? Thinking,
right,
you don't want chocolate in your park bag, especially in the summer heat. In the winter, you can maybe make it work, but not in that summer heat.
I wonder how many people have brought chocolate into the parks and then had a mess in their park bag. You know that that happens. And thinking through, you know, meltability in your snacks is really important in a place like Florida. Yeah, snacks, are a no-brainer. I would love to know too, as we're going through this, because I did sort of pull the list together based off of our listener feedback. So from you both, I would really love to know if you're more a take it or leave it on these items. You know, if I go through something that you're a leave it behind, you don't agree, I want to know, because there's a lot. You know, if you bring everything on this list, you're going to need a pretty big bag. Although I think I do bring everything on this list.
I think that snacks was a great one, but it was not what I thought you were going to say first. And I actually was thinking while Stacey was talking how important snacks is. This is kind of a rabbit hole, but snacks in your room, like having something when you get back to your room is a difference maker.
Everybody wants to eat when they get back. It's absolutely true. It really is. And you're not probably not going to want to order quick service, spend more money, walk to the location and get, you know, that's just not what you want. But if you can have like a bag of pretzels, or maybe you bought a snack at the parks and you're not finished with it and you have that back in the room, but something to eat when you get back is a really good idea.
Well, and that's a good place to have the thing that needed maybe a little chill, and it's in your cooler, you know, when you get back to your room. Like, you know, we'll do little individual cheese, you know, that just something that's kind of a little salty. I like to replenish my salts at the end of the day. We've always had little cheese snacks to get back to the room. But yeah, it's crazy how snacky you are, even late at night.
Yeah, totally. So the next thing, and Becky, I'm curious if this is what you thought was going to be number one, is a water bottle.
No, that's still not what I thought it was going
to
be.
Okay, but this is so interesting. I can't wait to hear what, oh, I bet I know. Okay, I bet I know. Water is essential. There are water fill stations everywhere. And have you seen those collapsible water bottles that just kind of become the size of the palm of your hand? And then I know you have like a love affair with your water bottle. Like you have one that's so specific and necessary.
I do. I'm not a Stanley girl, but I do have, shout out to the Dylan brand water bottle. If you want to be a sponsor or send me any free Dylan water bottle parts, I would love that. I do love the Dylan. So when you mentioned that Danielle, one of our sweet team members, gave you a little crossbody, she actually gave me for my birthday, she did give me a crossbody that holds my gigantic water bottle. And it's very helpful. And it's got a little pouch on it, so I can have my phone in that and the water bottle. It is crossbody, but I did have to, you know, handed it off to my husband, I'll be honest, sometimes. But yeah, water bottles, so key. You don't want to be wishing you had water and you're standing in the middle of a line and you're like, where's a fountain? Like, you don't want to be in that position. You want to always, always have water. And you want to, even if you're not an empty water bottle, when you stop for your snacks or your meals, you want to get those waters that they'll give you and refill it every single time with the ice. Go ahead and get their water at a quick service or at a sit down restaurant and go ahead and put that ice in every time that you stop and keep it filled to the brim.
Yeah, this is a massive essential. This is for your health and for your safety, honestly. You know, you don't want to be stuck in the heat and on your feet and not have water. And the water fill stations just make it so easy to have it accessible all day long. And I would not recommend a Stanley cup. You just said you're not a Stanley girl. That just feels bulky and heavy and difficult. You want to have a lightweight. I like the collapsible water bottles. Honestly, they'll clip to things. A lot of the ones, we have them for our kids and they'll clip to things and we can just refill them when we need them. And they're really great.
We do the 32-ounce kind of squattier water bottle, but I have to have a lined water bottle because I need cold water. I cannot do like room temperature water. So I have to be able to have it be cold. And those 32-ounce ones that would be any of the brands that you can find out in the marketplace fit inside of our Loungefly perfectly. And there's something about the flavor. I know the flavor of water. Like, does water have a flavor? Florida water does tend to have a flavor. And so if you are somebody who struggles with the flavor of water, we also bring the little drop-ins so that we can have flavor to our water and not have that Florida water taste.
Yep. I love that you just said that because it's next on the list here to go along with the water. My wife does not drink. She hates water. It's the most absurd thing. She says she doesn't like water. She doesn't drink water. And the only way to drink the water is with a water flavor packet. And, you know, she still says it's water. I say it's lemonade, but either way, you're getting a fluid.
I think as long as it's not carbonated or pumped full of sugar, then it's still going to hydrate you well. So whatever it takes to get that hydration in your body, it's the heat's going to hit you and you need to have those fluids.
Yeah, totally. Okay, next, is this your number one? portable charger.
Yes. I thought that that was by far going to be the thing that people say. You can't get by without it at this point.
It's so funny. No, everybody, people said snacks more. Isn't that wild? And this makes me think, do people just not, I mean, a lot of people said this, but I really felt like snacks was more prevalent. But portable charger, if I forget snacks, I'm like, oh man, I'm going to be hungry. If I forget a portable charger, I'm in panic mode.
Yes, you are. You're like, where is there going to be a plug that I can go and plug myself into a wall? There's places to charge in the parks, but it's going to take you out of your day to day. You have to have that portable charger.
Yeah, it's not really doable at this point. You know, people do. I have a lot of clients when I'm planning that will say, oh, I'm so worried I'm going to be on my phone all day with Genie Plus. And I don't want to leave the wrong impression and make you feel like that's true, because, you know, I feel like that's a misconception. Genie Plus is quick picks and move on with your day. But you are going to be on your phone a lot, right? Like when I'm at Disney, I'm very present with my family. You know, you're not on your phone playing Wordle. You know, you're not on your phone doing busy work or anything like that, but you are on your phone even if you're present with your family. You're taking pictures. You're checking wait times. You're looking at your memory maker. You are mobile ordering. You are checking the next virtual queue. I mean, you're using your phone a lot. And it doesn't mean, oh, I wanted this trip to be about my family and now it can't be because I'm always on my phone. Like, you still will be very present, but your phone is going to be very present as well. When you don't have a portable charger and you want that picture in front of the castle at night and your phone is dead, that's going to be a big bummer.
It is. We are a fuel rod family. I know that we have both types. We have the big bank that's going to recharge your phone 7 times. But we also have turned into fuel rods, which, if you don't know what fuel rod is, it's a little miniature charger. It's enough to charge your phone probably about 50%. But you can pop them into the fuel rod machine and get a fresh one at any time throughout the day. And because there's 5 of us and we have 5 devices, one big brick doesn't serve the purpose of everybody keeping charged. And so what we ended up doing, our original fuel rod discovery was while we were in the park and my phone was dying. So I bought it. It's expensive in the park. You can find them, but you can also pre-buy fuel rods on Amazon or on the marketplace and bring them and still swap them out in the park.
Yeah, exactly. I have fuel rods on my list. I'm actually so glad you said that, because I don't personally use fuel rods, but I was going to ask if either of you did. We have a lightweight charger that we recharge in our room every night with a small cord that we use, and it works just fine. But Katie, our friend, co-host Katie, she is like known for her portable charger. I used it once and it was like so wild. Anything wild is going to go hand in hand with Katie, right? She has a light up cord and she swears by this light up cord because at night it's easy to find her things and it's easy to find her. You know, when you're in the crowded parks and you're waiting for Happily Ever After and there's huge crowds and it's dark, it's hard to find your group, but you can see Katie's blue lit cord and it's easy to find her. But also it has this really cool thing where if the light is moving, the speed at which the light is moving, you can kind of tell how fast your phone is charging. So, you know, there are lots of different types of portable chargers you can look at. There's ones that are like magnetic to the back of your phone that just charge being stuck there. And you can kind of use that battery first and then your regular battery. And I don't think it matters what you use, what makes the most sense for you, but having one is so, so important. So many of our listeners submitted our form and said, phone was dying. We had hours to go in the park. I mean, I'm talking, it's been 11 a.m. for me before and the phone is already dying, you know? And I have to be honest, I will usually have 2 backup chargers, which is where the fuel rod would maybe be a better idea because you can just always be changing it.
With that though, don't forget your cord. It's easy to remember, I have my charger, but you get there. I've been there before. I've had my fuel rod and not had a cord to plug my fuel rod into my phone, which essentially means I have no charger. So making sure you have those, and you don't need a 10-foot cord. Like, think through how you're going to manage, because sometimes those big bulky cords can also be a hindrance. I actually got stuck in, was it Flight of Passage? My cord got stuck and wrapped around the bottom of the container and I was pulling out. I was in that panic mode, like, oh my gosh, they're coming to load. And I couldn't get my cord out of that bottom. So think through what size and all of those different pieces, what's that going to actually look like in the park?
Yeah, there's nothing worse than getting your charger and then not having a cord. I mean, that's like the worst. There are 2 components you need, so make sure you have them.
Well, and I like to make sure I have a wall socket so that when I'm at ABC Commissary, throw back to the last episode here.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to that, Quick Service Hollywood Studios. go ahead and check that out.
Yeah, I like to be able to not have to use my battery pack, and I can use a wall when I'm there, you know, so go ahead and do that. So I like to have, we call it a fire hydrant, actually, the little part that plugs into the wall. And then I actually, Becky, you said not to have a long cord. We actually do use a little bit longer cord. It's probably not a 10-foot, but it's probably a 6-foot, so that I can keep my charging block, the little bank, in my backpack and still have it come around to my phone, and I can have my phone in my hand or in my front pockets. I will say that, you know, the longer your cord is, the slower the charge most of the time. It needs, the shorter the cord, the quicker it will charge. But when you sprinted back to the room for your inhaler, we have definitely had a sprint back to the room for charging pieces.
Yeah, that's tough. I always just make sure my cord, this is like my little pro tip, I have the charger, portable charger, in my back pocket, and then my phone in my front pocket, because to put them in the same pocket is too bulky. So I just have to make sure my cord can nicely reach from my back pocket to my front pocket. That way I can just kind of walk with both things stored snugly.
Well, that's going to be a much smaller cord for you than it would be for me.
I usually use about a 3-foot cord, between a 1-foot and a 3-foot, but just know yourself. Try it out before you go to the park. Like, what do you envision your charging situation looking like?
I definitely don't want like a massive cord that I have to like wrap around like a scarf and like a belt to make it make sense. But, you know, maybe that's what you need. Okay. Next up on the list, another super important one, sunscreen. We forget this a lot. I'm not even kidding. I have used a stranger's aerosol sunscreen in line for Mine Train at Magic Kingdom more than once. I don't know why this is hard for me to remember. When we're at the pool, of course, we have our sunscreen. Sometimes when we're just jetting off to the park, I forget that we're going to be out in the sun and it's going to be brutal, and those sunburns will ruin your vacation. Like, there's nothing worse than a really bad sunburn on day one, and then you can't walk or function for the rest of the trip. It's so hard. You have to have sunscreen. I'm not even going to ask if that's a bring it or leave it, like, because you have to bring it. Don't be silly here. But what kind do you bring? Do you bring lotion, sticks, sprays? Like, what is y'all's go to?
Actually, we in Disneyland just the other week, I had to go buy something for my husband. I felt like I was going to just get away without it. I am married to a blonde hair, blue eyed husband, and he really needs the sunscreen no matter what. We went and we just bought what was available, which ended up being a stick. So, and it saved the day. Normally, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Just whatever kind is going to, you can take in your bag and use. That's the main thing. I would say probably most often it's a spray, but the key being whatever works for you, that's the one you should take.
I have two redheads, and redheads scream like, you need to put sunscreen on them. They are just our freckled little babies that we should have invested in like Banana Boat when we were having kids, because it's just essential. Yeah. I actually prefer the spray, but the struggle that we run into is I find out we run out of it faster, and the spray tends to get in their eyes worse. And so then they end up with drippy eyes and it bothers them. So we've kind of shifted and basically use regular lotion at every point now.
I don't like lotion. My kids are still the age where I need to do the sunscreen. My older daughter is kind of doing it on her own now, but then I have to give it like a one over check and make sure. And the lotion just takes me 500 times longer. So I am absolutely team spray and face stick. We always have a face stick. I can quickly reapply nose, ears, you know, eyes, because those areas, you just don't want that sunburn. And then we just do really fast sprays at bathroom breaks, and that helps us with little ones. We had a listener, Amy, and she said that she uses little travel size lotion bottles to fill with sunscreen. And I actually had another friend do that once, and it exploded in her bag. I guess this would really depend on the type of small lotion bottle that you're bringing. You want to make sure that they're not going to explode, because sunscreen in your bag, number one, then you're not going to have your sunscreen. And then number two, you're going to have a mess. So you want to make sure if you're repackaging your sunscreen, you're doing it in a way. Amy also suggested bringing chafing balm. She said she forgot it once and she was waddling like a penguin all day. That is one that it's like a thing that you don't necessarily need in your everyday life. But when you're putting yourself in a situation like you're walking through these big parks for hours and hours on end, chafing is just, you can't. you don't want to be stuck in that position.
Yes. And not just for the mom, like for everybody. My son is 14 and midday, if we've got, especially if you've gone on a water ride, oh my gosh, walking in general, but if you've gone on a water ride, you have to have the Body Glide stick. My kids all have a Body Glide stick of their own at this point, because it really is that big of a lifesaver between having to think about being uncomfortable or just going through your day.
Oof. Yes. And it's not just that, like, your skin is rubbing. It is like from the seam of your shorts, the seam of your pants. The seam will make you so sore. If you've never experienced it, it is a misery you do not want to experience. So yes, there's Gold Bond is a great little product. I mean, there's lots of little products that you can use, and it is, I mean, you don't know how badly you need it until you have had an experience without it. So definitely, definitely that is in our park bag, especially in our room. But having it to be able to reapply in the park is a great idea.
Absolutely. And another thing that kind of goes along with this, like heat and body and kind of this conversation that we're having. And this is another one that if you forget it, this would be kind of a bad, you know, you don't want to forget this. It's like a mini deodorant. You can get the little mini aerosol deodorant. Doesn't take up much room in your bag, and you're going to want it. Like, there's nothing worse than like midday, you're smelling yourself and you're hot. You want to be able to just reapply. And I have forgotten that before. That's not a fun one to forget. I wouldn't recommend a stick. You know, that could like melt or whatever, but definitely a spray, little aerosol.
Can you take the mini aerosol sprays as a carry-on on an airplane?
I do.
Oh.
It just has to be airport travel size. And you know what? It's so interesting that you just said that, because now you brought up security to me. You're going to find when you go through those Disney security measures as you're going into a park, you know, some of these things that you put in your park bag are always going to set the alarm off. And just a little pro tip, like a portable chargers will often set the alarm off. And actually, I'll use this as a segue into the next thing you're not going to want to forget. Sunglass cases will also always trip the alarm. They're like big black blocks, you know, as you go through that security can't tell what they are. So I will, first of all, I wear prescription eyeglasses. Forgetting sunglasses is detrimental for me to have a good day. Like, that's just the worst it can be, because I can't just go buy a quick pair in the gift shop. I won't be able to see. I need my prescription sunglasses that, you know, it's necessary for me. And so forgetting mine would be a big deal. So always have sunglasses. And we actually have a listener, Amanda, who submitted and said she recommends bringing two pair for your kids because they get lost or broken, and your kids and the sun in their eyes, you know, and I actually do usually bring two. But if you take out your sunglasses and you take out your portable charger and you hold them in your hand straight in front of you as you walk through park security, it'll actually beep in a way that alerts everybody to know that that's what's, and it'll save you some time at your security check.
Yeah, I do that too. Great tip.
Yeah. And you'll kind of know, you know, every single time you're like, oh, there's Becky, you know, her bag always sets off the alarm. You'll kind of learn which things you can ask the security guard too, like, what in my bag is setting this off? And so then you can hold it and save yourself that time. But yeah, sunglasses. Do y'all bring, I mean, you bring sunglasses into the park, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The sun is not something to mess around with, like sunscreen, sunglasses. If you're a hat person, bring a hat.
Yeah, a hat is always a good idea as well. I'm not really a hat person because I'm an ear person. Oh, but you know what? Another pro tip. I always do braids because I have a lot of hair and a ponytail gets really heavy and uncomfortable. So I usually do braids because they're lightweight and off my neck. But so often I forget to put sunscreen in my hair part, and my part will burn, you know, often at Disney World. And then it's, you know, peeling, and then that's in your head. So don't forget the places like any exposed skin, like your hair part, that will need sunscreen.
I want to mention, while we have kind of gone back to skin issues, and I am not a medical professional. However, I have found that my feet and ankles, and if you've ever heard of like the Disney rash, there is a really weird little kind of a splotchy skin thing that will happen on your ankles and your legs sometimes. It's a really strange phenomenon. Now, particularly for me, it does not, it's not like a raised rash, but it is like a splotchy rash. And I have found that anything with rubbing alcohol in it will relieve some of that. And some, if you have like ankle and calf swelling. So I have used, you can either get the little handy wipes that are like little alcohol rubs, or hand sanitizer on my ankles and my feet. It's a relief. I cannot explain scientifically why it works, But that's a little, you know, I'm a non-medical professional, so I don't know if it's fine for everybody to do, but that is something that I will do. So I have this alcohol wipes and these hand sanitizers for my ankles and my feet and my legs, which may be kind of weird, but little tip for somebody. If that's an issue that you have had in the past, you might want to try it.
That's a good tip. This next one from our listener, Michelle. I'm wondering if this is a bring it or leave it for y'all. This is a leave it for me. I've never thought of this, but it was an interesting conversation. She said she always brings flushable toilet seat covers.
No.
I think they provide those in the bathrooms. If you're worried about it.
Yeah. I don't think that I would pack that.
It's a leave it for me.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that people are bringing those. Okay. A definite take, all the medications and Band-Aids, right? You need blister Band-Aids, regular Band-Aids. Have you guys ever used liquid Band-Aid?
I have not.
No, I don't know that one.
That's not for me. I usually let my kids pick out some Disney themed Band-Aids before we go on the trip, and we pre-pack a little medicine bag. Dramamine, ibuprofen, Band-Aids. Those are going to be like your trifecta to me that you need in your medicine bag. Neosporin maybe, but that would be lesser than the other three things.
Pepto.
I was going to say on the medicine side, absolutely. Pepto and pain reliever. You need both of those things. Your body's going to be going through different water, different foods. Somebody's going to get a bellyache.
Yeah, that's true. So much sugar,
mm-hmm.
You know, Pepto, ibuprofen or Tylenol. Band-Aids. So many of our listeners, we had a listener, Sam, said that her father-in-law got a blister an hour into their park day, and without blister Band-Aids, never would have made it. My oldest daughter, when she was about 4, we always theme our kids in outfits for Disney, and she was dressed as Cinderella in the pink dress before it gets all tattered up, and she looked so cute. And she had on these little black, this was our fault. This was really silly. She had on these little black, like Mary Jane type shoes that looked perfect with the dress. Terrible foot attire for the parks. And she got a blister. She was crying so, so badly. I remember we had to stop over by Cosmic Rays and just sit there to let her feet rest. And my wife went and bought a pair of Disney Crocs, totally messed up the Cinderella look, but having good footwear matters. And she had to change in those Crocs, and we had Band-Aids, put them over it. And she was able to survive the day, but she needed a shoe at that point that didn't have a back because her blister was so bad.
I am huge on shoes, man. I have gotten way too old to worry about what's necessarily cute on my feet, and comfort is key. And I have, can I do another shout out? I would love for these companies to hear me, but UFO's brand shoes, they have changed my park feet. I'm so thankful for those. And I know there are a lot of really, you know, people have, shoe choice is very personal. So I know there are a lot of different options people are choosing, but that is something people I see asking all the time. What kind of shoes do I have? I like to be able to have this brand that I can wear as a flip-flop, I can wear as a tennis shoe type. But man, that is so key, because you have one bad day with blisters or sore feet, and that will ruin your trip just about faster than anything else.
Yeah.
I think if you get a blister though, and you don't have these things, you should know that Disney has first aid stations that you can go to get some of these things that if you happen to have forgotten them, you can get them if you need them.
Yeah, exactly. There are some things that you can get that Disney will provide. We didn't have Motrin at the Halloween party last year. We were able to get some at the medical center. So you can get them, but you also don't want to necessarily be reliant on that. If you need something and you're in line at the back of the park, you know, you don't want to have to keep going to the front of the park to get things. So no panic if you forget those things. Forgetting a portable charger, not necessarily super fun, although you can get the fuel rod. It's not like we want you to panic if you forget these things, but it's going to make your life easier if you have them, right? Well, we are compiling a really great list, and I'm so excited to round it out for all of our listeners and make sure that they feel well prepared for stocking their bag. But before we do, we're going to take a quick break.
Are you a dedicated fan of the Smart Moms Plan Disney podcast and feel the need to take notes while listening to each and every episode? Our Diamond Mind Patreon subscription is a perfect fit for you. Every month, our Diamond Mind subscribers receive a new Disney travel guide that simplifies and organizes the podcast content. Join our community at patreon.com and search for Smart Moms Plan Disney Podcast. Joining our Patreon supports our woman-owned small businesses and allows you more simplicity and support in planning your next Disney vacation. Join us at patreon.com and we'll see you there.
This one is definitely a bring it, not leave it hand sanitizer. Y'all, I can remember when I was in line for Space Mountain when I was a little girl, and I still have a problem with biting my nails. It's just a habit. I can't kick it. It's lifelong. I don't know. I'll be like 90 biting my nails. And I remember my dad, I had had my hands on the rails and he was like, imagine the amount of people that have gone to the restroom and not washed their hands and then touched that rail. Or had their fingers in their nose and then touched that rail, had their fingers in their mouth and then touched that rail. And then you just touch that rail and put your fingers in your mouth. And that has stuck with me forever. Like every time I see, especially the ones in the Space Mountain ride queue, because I know that's where we were having that conversation. But any of them, I just think, gosh, these are probably so disgusting. And you need to hand sanitize after the rides, after the queues, after before and after you eat. You have to be sanitizing.
Yeah. Hand sanitizer and even like those hand sanitizer wipes to be able to wipe down. You could wipe your hands or you could wipe where you're going to be. You don't have to be overly aggressive. Like Disney does clean their stuff. But those handrails in particular, my skin's crawling hearing you talk about that.
Oh. Yeah, so gross. And clearly, I still remember it. I mean, I was probably like 6 when my dad told me that. And it stuck with me this long. I still think about it. I still bite my nails. So I guess it didn't have the effect he really needed. But I probably stopped putting them in my mouth, you know, at that moment. This is a leave it for me, but I thought somebody listening may have a child that this is a good idea for. A portable sound machine for when your baby in the stroller wants to take a nap. I think that's bulky and extra and you don't necessarily need it. And you can get white noise on your cell phone and stick it in the stroller. But it's a good thing to kind of think through because a lot of people worry about taking their babies to the parks. My babies, we would just throw like one of those muslin blankets over the stroller and the natural park noise, they would just go to sleep. I mean, you were never going to make it quiet for them. And so letting them fall asleep and adapt to the surroundings was best in my opinion. But I know some babies really rely on that noise. And so thinking through having something to put with them might not be a terrible idea for some people listening.
Sure.
Just anything that your baby is accustomed to, it can be helpful. You know, whether it be a particular stuffed animal, a particular blanket, a particular handheld little toy. Yeah, consider that. Although I will also argue the other side that, as we have said on multiple other episodes, there ain't no tired like Disney tired. Your kids are going to sleep. That's probably not going to be an issue most of the time. But, you know, think it through. Think through your day with letting your child take a nap.
Yeah, this actually is a perfect segue to tell you my 5K that I ran spontaneously. And I may have mentioned this on the show before. My youngest daughter, who's 6 now, when she was 2, was very, very addicted to her Binky, her pacifier. And we used those Wubba-Nub ones with the stuffy on the end because she also has always loved stuffies. And we forgot it in the room. And there was just, we were planning on being in Epcot sun up to sundown. And thank goodness we were staying at the boardwalk because to my knowledge, a Binky is not something you can buy on Disney property. And she would never have made it through the day without a Binky. It just was never going to happen. She needed it. And from the Japan Pavilion, I had to run back to our room at the boardwalk. I can't imagine if we'd been staying somewhere that I needed to go get a bus, you know, and leave the park and go get that passy. She wouldn't have made it through the day. And so, yes, anything that your baby is accustomed to, do not forget it because you're going to find yourself like me. Okay, a couple of things that are definite brings for me. Ziploc baggies and an extra bag for junk. A lot of times a bag from one of the shops will become our bag for junk. Like we'll consolidate and put a lot of things in there. But Ziploc baggies, I feel, is one that people overlook. It's easy to roll them up, throw them in their bag. They take up no room. You're going to be able to put so many things, especially maybe some extra food you didn't finish eating or things like that. Those Ziploc baggies are going to come so in handy more often than you may realize. And we always, always have them in our bags.
What size Ziploc bags do you get? Do you take like gallon size, quart size, snack size?
Both. We actually put some quart size inside some gallon size and bring both.
Good idea.
Yep. I, you know, as minimalist as I am, that is something that if I have a bag, I'm throwing those in as well. They really can be helpful, particularly for leftovers. I think that's probably what I've used them for the most. Another thing as a minimalist that I will throw into my bag if I have a bag that has come in handy more often than you might realize is just a hand towel. And we would use that a lot of times if there was any kind of, you know, if it had sprinkled and rained and your seats were wet, we could use those to dry down a seat or dry down a table. We've used them just for like messes, just kind of having little things like that. I mean, and I know you can use like disposable wipes too, baby wipes for those kind of things, but particularly the absorbent kind would be, have been helpful for, because it rains, it'll rain and you'll have somewhere you want to sit. and those seats will be wet. So wiping those down has been really helpful.
Yes.
Speaking of rain, ponchos.
I can't believe you just said that. That's exactly where I was going. The whole next thing on my list has to do with weather, and ponchos is number one. But are you a poncho or a rain jacket person?
I am a 99-cent poncho so I can throw it away person.
Yeah. My family has reusable ponchos that we always bring. I do prefer raincoats, but I think that they're too bulky and I don't necessarily think you need it. You know, I think a poncho is just fine. I mean, a massively large poncho can fold up to the palm of my hand. You know, they can really bend and fold, and you have to have them. Do not leave your poncho behind, because you're going to end up buying $30 poncho for that spontaneous rainstorm that will happen.
I make my choice based on the weather report for that day. I will have on my trip with me both a rain jacket and a poncho. But for the day, I look at the weather report. And if it's just really going to be a specifically rainy day, like, you know, it's not just your average Florida pop-up shower. For the pop-up showers, I think a poncho is great. If you know it's going to be rainy and that it's very specifically going to be raining for large periods of time, I will take a rain jacket.
Yeah. A lot of people did submissions based off of weather. So poncho was big. Our listener, Kelsey, said she got stuck in a food court because of rain. And we've definitely been stuck. I remember we got stuck under the awning of the Beauty and the Beast sing-along at Epcot because of the rain. And we didn't have our ponchos. They were on our stroller. And our stroller was parked elsewhere. And my sister-in-law had a cover for her stroller, but I did not. Oh. And so stroller cover, very important. We ended up putting a towel over ours, and it was not ideal, but it was fine. I bought a towel. We still have the towel. That was our souvenir. Not ideal. We got stuck there. We got stuck in the Lightning McQueen Racing Academy at Hollywood Studios. Belle's sing-along in the Racing Academy. Like, those are two places I don't want to be stuck. And we didn't have appropriate rain gear. Plus, Disney doesn't necessarily let you take shelter. Like, they don't let you just stand in doorways and stand under awnings because it rains. They're like, sorry, you can't stand here. You got to keep moving. And so, like, we were in the Rock and Roller Coaster gift shop trying to escape the rain. They were like, no, you can't be in here. You have to leave. If you're not actively buying something right now, you have to leave. You can't just be in here. They don't just let you seek shelter from rain. You know, it rains too much and there's too many people. So you have to be prepared. Our listener, Natalie, said that at home, she always packs extras of things. And when she goes on vacation, she wants to make sure her bag is ready to grab and go, especially when she knows she's going to rope drop in the morning. And when she went to Disney in December, she did think about rain. And she brought a stroller cover and she brought everyone 2 to 3 ponchos and 3 umbrellas, which I think is overkill. Like, 3 umbrellas in a bag might be a lot, but she was just overprepared. And I get it. You get worried. But other things to think about with weather, she said her shoes also ended up getting ruined. That's a big deal. You know, my shoes got wet on a trip recently and then they smelled the rest of the trip. That was awful. So backup shoes, dry socks, having dry socks in your bag and a pair of flip-flops for the rain. Like, we'll change into our flip-flops while it rains, the water-resistant ones, and then back into our tennis shoes when the rain is over. I think that's a really good idea. Another listener, Jillian, said she had wished that she had another pair of shoes when it was pouring rain at Magic Kingdom because she was staying all night for the Halloween party. So she had done all day at Magic Kingdom and then had wet shoes for the party. That's miserable.
It is. Being wet in general is just miserable. And so the poncho, not just for the rain, but also consider it for a water ride. Like, if you're going to do a water ride early in the day,
that's me.
Like, it could really ruin your day if you get completely wet. We were traveling with our good friends and we went on Kelly River Rapids early in the day, and she didn't have chafing cream. She didn't have a poncho. Like, essentially, she bought herself an entire new outfit, which ended up costing way more than necessary because it was exhausting and so uncomfortable to be wet.
Yeah. I mean, Disney is amazing. And for the most part, you know, everything's going to be magic, but it's not magic when it comes to weather. Weather is what it is, right? You can't avoid the heat waves. You can't avoid the rain. All you can do is prepare for them. And then you can continue the magic, you know, and for any smart moms, travel agents listening today, the Hidden Mickey is magic. Prepare for the weather. The rain is coming. And I know we already talked a lot about heat, but another thing to consider putting in your park bag, especially as we're talking about weather, a neck fan or cooling towel. I don't use neck fans. My hair gets caught in neck fans.
Yeah, we don't use neck fans. We actually bought, Disney sells these really massive, just fans that open, kind of like, I don't know, I think about like the folded paper I did in elementary and what it looks like. But it's just this massive fan that folds quite small. It fits in my Loungefly perfectly. but it moves air. Like, we can fan that and it will move air for our entire group.
Yeah. Then your arm gets tired.
Then you pass it off to the husband. Whose turn is it to fan the family?
We use cooling towels. If you've never used a cooling towel, they make a huge difference. Disney sells them, or you can get them ahead of your trip. You basically get them wet and then they're cold and you put them on your neck, and it can drop your body temperature significantly in the dead heat. Cooling towels are so important. And if you have long hair like me, hair ties. Hair ties in the park bag, so important. You know, I may have my hair one way, but it needs to be another. Hair ties can break. If my hair tie breaks and I need to fix it and I don't have a hair tie, I'm going to be miserable.
So I know that this is a park bag episode, but I feel like it just goes to what we talk about all the time is your resort choice. And you're talking about things that when you're getting overheated and you're there in the park, like, I love to just be able to go back to my room in the middle of the day during some of these times. I have put ice water into an ice bucket back in my room and have hand towels or little washcloths sitting in those. And so that when I come back, I have those ready to go. And I'll just sit for 30 minutes back in the room with cold washcloths on my feet. And it's just such a nice break to be able to do that, or, you know, just have them on my leg and I'll just sit in the air conditioning for a little while. And then I'm rejuvenated and I'm able to go for the rest of the night after that. But that also for swapping out your clothes, you know, like just getting sweaty and gross. Sometimes just going back to the room and putting on a fresh t-shirt, or, you know, changing into a different pair of shoes that rubs a little different, you know, even if you're not rubbing blisters, just having a different feeling shoe on your foot can allow your feet to feel a little more rested. There's still so much benefit to having a room where you can go back quickly.
And well, I bring my change of clothes with me, and y'all know that, especially it has nothing to do with weather too. Like, if we're park hopping, I'm changing my shirt on the bus. Like,
that's right. You are.
I always have extra clothes with me. So
that's right.
I fold them up small though. You can Marie Kondo fold. If you don't know how, maybe I'll do a little tutorial and you can get it real small and into your park bag.
Allie, cause your clothes are like Barbie size. My clothes are like picnic blankets.
That's funny. Okay. A couple more essentials that I think, and then to round out the list, I have some things that I want to know. Is this a bring it or leave it for you? Because I think we've already covered some things that I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't bring that. But I have a whole list of those here at the bottom. The last two essentials, I think, as I'm looking here, chapstick.
Yes.
Yep.
I think it's an easy one to forget.
Yes.
And your lips are going to need chapstick. And I actually have a chapstick that LJ gave me, and it's from Basin and it has Daisy Duck on it. And I still have that tube of chapstick, and I'm hoping, it's like my mission to not lose that one tube of chapstick and use it all the way to the end. Like, have you ever kept a chapstick all the way to the end, or do you always lose it? Cause this one from Basin, which is a Disney store, I love, and I always have it at Disney World, but you can't forget your chapstick. It's very important.
It's true.
As the Floridian in this group, also on your chapstick, do not leave your chapstick unless it is a liquid chapstick in your car, because the heat will melt your lip gloss. I can tell you how many I've thrown away because I left it in my car, the sun baked it, it melted it, and it's everywhere.
Yeah. And then the other one that's an essential, depending on time of the month, women, ladies, don't forget your tampons. That's a terrible thing to forget if you know that you're going to need one. Yeah, you can get them at Disney, but you're not going to want to keep going and getting the free little ones that are probably going to be the cardboard tubes that hurt and aren't ideal. Pack your tampons ahead of time or get them delivered to your resort and make sure you bring them with you, because being stuck without sounds absolutely miserable. Okay. Do you think that covered all the essentials? Is there anything on there that we didn't say that you're thinking, wait, you have to bring that?
I think it's a great list.
Yeah. It really covers organization, entertainment, hangriness, weather, medical, you know, those are the categories you really want to cover. So here's a list of extra things that you may want to consider if they make sense for your family. Gift cards for your kids to spend money. Is that a bring it or leave it for you?
It's a leave it for me. Anything that can be lost makes me nervous, especially when it's the money. I mean, I guess if you're managing it right and know that you could move it to another gift card if needed, if they lost their card. But we're just not a cash family. In fact, my Disney park bag is basically where anytime we need cash, it's like, oh, mom's Disney bags probably has some cash in it because I have so many bags stored everywhere with all the things. But anything that can be lost that way is just, we've lost money in Disney before on a ride and it just ruins your day.
Yeah, I guess the pro tip there is if you are going to do gift cards for kids, make sure you load them at DisneyGiftCard.com so that you can, if you lose them, easily transfer the funds so that somebody doesn't take them. But it's probably a leave it for me as well. I mean, we have Disney gift cards I bring, and I guess I could let my kids have them. It is a fun way for them to learn to manage money, but it's not an essential. What about you, Stace?
We have done it in the past. You know, I am just out of that phase of life right now. All of my kids have jobs and have their own money and their own forms of payment at this stage. So, but I can say that I have done it in the past, and it's, you know, something to consider. I think it's, you know, probably just a personal choice for how you deal with money, but definitely I would not say it's essential. You don't have to have it.
Yeah. Okay. What about AirTags for lost bags or strollers?
You know, that's a new thing, and I think it's pretty genius. We have one, my sister-in-law, she uses them, and it has come in handy for sure with trying to find a bag that was sat down in a restaurant and being able to find it later, like, you know, walking out too far and then just realizing it, like, oh my goodness, got to go back and get my bag. And knowing it was still sitting there just in a quick glance was really nice.
We have the keychain holders for our AirTags, and I have one that lives in my Disney park bag, and it's attached with a key ring to the interior zipper, and it's just always there. I don't have to remember it. It's up there right now, and I absolutely don't think I would go without it. It's essential for me.
As a newer Apple, I've only switched over from Android to Apple in the last year and a half, and I think it's pretty cool. I have a friend who has one in their car, and so they never lose where their car is parked. Like, there's really cool uses that people are using for AirTags. I think it's cool technology.
Yeah, they're smart. Okay, Kleenex tissues?
I think it's a good, but I don't think it's a make or break.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not make or break. You can get something anywhere, but it's something to keep in mind. Okay, paper maps. You going to grab them at the front and throw it in your park bag?
Historically, I have been that person because I do love them. Similar with like the book that they give away for the Epcot festivals. It's just extra wasted paper at this point for our family, but they're fun souvenirs.
Okay, here's one. Reusable straw.
I'm getting to that point. I really hate those paper straws. I really do. I haven't done it yet, but every time I'm using a paper straw, I kind of wish I had one.
I have mine, just like my AirTag, is on a key ring, and it came from Target. It's metal. It's collapsible, so it goes down to the size of about my pointer finger, and it's in a case. So the case screws on, you unscrew it, pull it out, expand the straw, metal straw every time. You don't have to deal with the paper. It's essential for me.
And I have a silicone one that goes in, that squishes down into a little case as well. Yeah, we always have them.
Yeah, if you didn't already know, Disney uses only paper straws, which is great for the environment, but I recommend bringing a reusable one. Okay, our listener Amy said peppermint oil to help with her nausea. I thought that was a smart thing to consider because there's a lot of nausea that goes on with rides and sugar. Our listener Sam said entertaining things for the kids. So a card game like Uno or Disney I Found It to pass time at sit-down meals, or maybe Mad Libs or something to write with in line.
Yeah, we like Mad Libs. We've had trips where I would give everybody their own version, and we'd take turns doing different books of the Mad Libs. Those are pretty fun.
And I'm a save the space, use your phone. If you don't already use Heads Up, the app, when you're in the parks, there's a parks version, and it entertains our kids for hours. Even as teenagers, it entertains our kids, and it gets other people around you to join in. It's a great option.
Yeah.
We're also Heads Up. And then we ask for like paper placemats at restaurants, and we do like drawing contests and games and stuff. Okay. Our listener Rachel says batteries, especially to replace the bubble ones. I've never brought batteries into the parks personally.
I've never brought batteries into a park either. And if your battery is running dead on your bubble wand while you're on vacation, my guess is it's a faulty bubble wand, and Disney will usually replace if you have a faulty thing that you buy. But if you bring them, I could see the benefit, but I wouldn't bring them.
It's a leave it for me as well.
I feel like those would get heavy as well.
Yeah, it's a leave it for me. Okay, what about good markers or pens for an autograph book? Because our listener Roxanne said that she bought the Disney pens, and they were very expensive, and they died before the end of their 5-day vacation.
That is so true. If you care about the autographs and you're going to do autographs in any sort of fancy way, make sure you have a pen, a marker, whatever you're going to do, a quality one that's going to last, and a backup.
Yeah, backup. Have one and a backup. Definitely. What about you, Stace? That's a take it for me as well.
Well, we've just never been autograph family. I'd much rather have a photo than an autograph. So Gosh, it's never even crossed my mind to take anything like that. Now, I do like to have a pen because I like taking lists of things to remember to do, or, I mean, I have a list for everything. So I will even, in fact, have like even little handy dandy notebooks and a pen with me in the backpack if there's something I need to remember. And even just regular life, like I might get a phone call or a text from some sort of regular life thing back home that I'm like, if I do not write this down, I will not remember that this phone call happened or that, you know, that this thing. So I like to have a pen and paper anyway.
Have you discovered Notes app, Stacey?
look here.
Did you know you could do this like digitally look at here, this ladies. Point?
You know, I feel like y'all are on the age thing a little too much today.
Yeah, I guess your age can really determine what's in your park bag for sure. Okay, and the last one, Katie, fellow co-host, she says temporary tattoos with your phone number on it for your kiddos. She says she gets compliments from cast members all the time. It's great for getting separated from your kiddos. I've never done that, but I can see that it's a good idea.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing until Katie had told me about that, but that's pretty cool. I will change the lock screen of my phone to a phone number. Like I'll do this, you know, before we leave on our trip, I'll get a cute little image of something Disney. I'll usually find everybody's favorite character and I'll do like a little Canva thing or something. And on the image itself, I will put somebody else's phone number on my phone. So like for everybody else's phone, I would put my phone number on their phone. And then for my phone, I'd put like my husband's phone number so that if the phone gets lost, you know, gets left somewhere, they can push, you know, just tap your screen. You don't have to unlock your phone. And the lock screen has my phone number on it for somebody to call. And we've had that happen before where my daughter left her phone in the Buzz Lightyear ride. And we had, believe it or not, we were in Carousel of Progress when a phone call came in and said, hey, we found a phone. And I was like, oh my gosh, we just left there, you know, and we were able to get the phone back. So it worked. I was so proud that we had that.
That is such a pro tip. I am absolutely doing that from now on. That is so smart. That's great.
Something that we do that's similar to that is when I'm traveling with somebody, we always share our locations with each other. And so then we were able to do this when we were together at the conference last year. One of us had shared location and they left their phone on the Rise of the Resistance. And we could see her phone going through the ride as we were waiting for it to come back around. And so sharing your location is another way to keep track of where your phones are.
Yeah, that's really great. Great advice. My dad lost his at Disneyland and it about ruined our day. He lost it in A Bug's Life and then he couldn't really enjoy anything the rest of the day. He was on a mad dash hunt looking for this phone. He did find it, but God, your tips would have helped a lot. Okay. That's it for the park bag. Those are great things. A couple other notes. We had one listener, Tabitha, say she thinks that you should organize all of your things in your park bags in see-through bags by category. So snacks, activities, medicine, rain things, and electronics. That's a great idea. Instead of just piddling through and trying to find something in a big mad pile, having little bags that are easy to access and see, pull out exactly what you need. And those really are the categories, right? Snacks, activities, medicine, weather-related things, and electronics. Absolutely, those are those five main elements that we talked about. And then our listener, Elena, said, don't bring too much stuff. You don't want to carry around a big bag while traveling with your family and having an aching back. You definitely need to streamline with Disney. There are so many things you can buy if you need it. And that is just good advice. Think about the things that it wouldn't be make or break if you forgot. Think about the things that are going to save you and build your park bag from there. I think we did it. Anything else, guys, that you think you would add to your park bag?
Nope. I just think also remember to unpack your park bag when you get home. Don't leave it in there forever.
Or book your bounce back offer and keep it packed for your next trip.
Well, and even just every night going back to your room, taking the trash out of your bag, just kind of cleaning it up. If you need to recharge your battery pack and then remembering to put it back in every morning, like there is a little bit of thought that needs to go back every day. It's nice when it can be pre-packed, but you can't always just leave it in overnight. You want to replenish your snacks, recharge your phone bank.
We do it every night. I do my organization the night before.
Yeah.
So that the morning is stressful. Exactly. Everything is done before. Recently, Athena Hu, one of our listeners here on the podcast, she said, I love this podcast. I joined one of the Smart Moms Facebook groups when I was prepping for my family's Disney trip this past January, and I've been following the podcast since it has been announced. I've followed multiple Disney podcasts, and this one is by far my favorite. I think it's easygoing conversation that somehow stays on track with every episode topic. The episode about the Disney bubble has made me feel more confident in my decision to try to stay on property for the first time in 2025. I love the length of the episodes, and I always get excited when I see a new one. Keep the episodes coming, ladies. Thank you so much, Athena. That is really kind of you to say. We love that you feel like we are staying on track with our topics. We love to talk Disney, so we know we can ramble at times. But hope that the information is always entertaining and useful. If you have something nice to say, like Athena, please stop what you're doing and go give us a 5-star review wherever you're listening. We would love to maybe read it on the next episode. We do have new episodes dropping, so when you are subscribed, you'll get them delivered straight to you. If you enjoyed today's episode, you may want to check out a few of our other episodes. The Dopiest Mistakes of Them All, a mailbag episode where we talked about the biggest mistakes you can make going to Disney World. Took feedback from listeners just like we did on today's episode. You also may want to check out the Magic Kingdom itinerary episode. We gave companion guide itineraries to every single one of our park itinerary episodes. And if you missed out on that in our Patreon community, did you know that you can go buy principal itineraries as a bundle right now? We are selling them in a 4-park bundle, and it would be great to add to your planning to make your life a lot easier. And maybe you should check out when you should go to Disney World, because the park bag that you pack will greatly depend on when you are going to Disney. That's going to do it for us this time. And until next time, we'll see you real soon.